This is Ted Kennedy. A constitutional amendment to guarantee equal rights for women is once again moving forward in Congress. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the long battle to write ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, into the Constitution is heating up again in Congress. But this year's battle has special significance. 1991 is the 200th anniversary of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, adopted in 1791. What better way to honor this historic bicentennial than by adopting the ERA in 1991? We all know the current laws against sex discrimination have failed to guarantee equal rights to the majority of Americans who are women and give them the basic opportunities in jobs and education available to men. After decades of effort to close the gap, women still earn only 70 cents for every dollar earned by men. That's not fair, Al. Stop acting like Homer Simpson. Drop your male chauvinist ways. Help make ERA part of the Constitution.
Homer Simpson? But now, Ted, you can't pin that one on me, my friend. The Republican Party has always supported laws to fight sex discrimination. Do I smell a presidential election year giant-sized rat sneaking into your rhetoric a few months early? Do your efforts in supporting sex discrimination laws cycle only with the partisan tide, or are you really interested in solving the problem? Remember the last two times this ERA issue was addressed in Congress? The reaction out there was a clear refusal by the states to ratify it. Whether you do or not, the people recognize the unseen dangerous possibilities that such a broadly worded constitutional amendment could present. Ted, the people have already decided this issue. I think it's about time you paid attention and helped us deal with it from the floor of the Senate, not from the deck of a showboat that sunk twice before. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Now is the critical time to join together hand in hand and support our brave troops fighting in the Persian Gulf. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, unless one is completely void of national pride and a love of freedom, I hope everyone will find a way to say thanks to our fine troops who are tackling Saddam Hussein. After all, these young men and women are putting their very lives on the line to bring a dangerous tyrant to justice and secure lasting peace in a region that has seen precious little of it. Nobody wanted war, Ted, Republican or Democrat, but there are times when nations who are founded upon liberty and faith in God must confront those who threaten it. Hussein had to be stopped in his tracks. Anyone who reads the Amnesty International report on human rights violations in Kuwait would surely agree. And it's so clear now that economic sanctions were only letting Saddam borrow more time to dig his troops even deeper in the sand and inflict more pain on the entire world.
Al, all of us hope the war ends quickly with as few casualties as possible. Perhaps a way can still be found to stop the killing without a long, costly ground war. Now that the war is on, all of us support the courageous men and women in our armed forces. Our hopes and prayers are with them, and our hearts go out to their families. One of the best ways to demonstrate that support is to work harder to build a stronger and fairer society here at home, true to the ideals they're fighting for. You and I disagree about the policy that took us into this war in the first place. In fact, you were one of the worst offenders, cozying up to Saddam Hussein last April on your notorious junket to Iraq. You told Saddam his only real difficulty was a PR problem with the press. You really should stop dabbling in foreign policy, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on President Bush's State of the Union Address. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The President's State of the Union Address contains some welcome ideas. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush properly focused most of his State of the Union Address on the conflict in the Persian Gulf. The most significant part, and one of the most moving in any State of the Union speech in recent years, was the extraordinary response by everyone in Congress to the President's tribute to our forces in the Gulf. The needs of our troops are paramount, but I commend the President for his emphasis on urgent domestic priorities as well. We need to devote as much energy and commitment to education, health care, and other challenges here at home as we are to the Persian Gulf. Support for our troops also means support for the kind of America our troops are fighting for. We may not agree on all the answers, Al, but at last we're asking the right questions. The State of the Union can only get better.
Good heavens, Ted. Your high praise of George Bush leaves me smitten. Are you sure you feel okay, Ted? Coming from you, pal, that is a real compliment. Yes, the President did give a powerful State of the Union address before Congress and the nation. At this time of greatest challenge to American ideals, when we have joined the fight against Saddam Hussein, it is so appropriate and essential that we unite behind our President and our troops in the Middle East. And you are very right, Ted. Congress is not going to let events in the Middle East divert its attention and keep it from working on the many domestic challenges we face right here at home. That includes, as our President said, numerous federal programs which must be terminated. That's the word, terminated. But you never met a spending bill you didn't like, Ted. Are you really ready to cut off the ones that don't cut the mustard? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to give veterans an automatic cost of living increase to keep them even with inflation. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. America's veterans deserve their annual COLA benefits without the hassle of waiting for yearly congressional approval. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, American veterans who qualify for disability benefits should also receive their yearly COLAs so they can stay even with inflation. We do that for our seniors on Social Security and retirees, so why not vets? It's unfair that every year Congress decides whether vets even get a COLA, and last Congress left veterans twisting in the wind. Ted, last month all of us in Congress finally decided to pass a COLA for vets, but the time has also come to make the benefit adjustments for vets automatic, based on the annual rate of inflation and not on congressional posturing. I put my name on legislation to do just that, Ted. The sacrifice made by American vets deserves more than yearly politics as usual. They deserve the peace of mind that they will get what they deserve and on time. How about co-sponsoring my bill?
Nice try, Al. I agree we ought to make the annual cost of living increase for disabled veterans automatic to avoid a future repetition of the fiasco you engineered last year. You have a lot of apologizing to do to all those disabled veterans who almost lost their benefit hike because of your obstruction last fall. You are willing to kill the entire increase just because you didn't like an unrelated provision for long overdue compensation to veterans exposed to Agent Orange in the Vietnam War. Some friend of veterans you turned out to be, Al. Thousands of veterans and other citizens were outraged by your tactics. All of Congress was embarrassed when the increase failed to pass last fall. One of the first priorities of Congress in 1991 was to pass that cost of living increase for disabled veterans and make it retroactive to January 1st. They'll finally get what they deserve, Al. No thanks to you. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on cost-effective investment in children's health and education. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ted Kennedy, budget times are tough, but let's not shortchange programs helping children. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, granted we need to reduce spending and wring out the waste, but I hope you'll grant me in return that we need to invest more in programs that work. I'm talking about helping children. It's time for old Scrooge Simpson to loosen up. The evidence is indisputable. Dollar for dollar, investing in today's children is the soundest investment we can make in tomorrow's America. This will boggle your right-wing budget-cutting mind, Al, but the best of these programs for children actually save money later by spending it now. $1 spent on prenatal care saves $3 in hospital costs for newborn infants. $1 spent on Head Start saves $7 in future costs for welfare, unemployment, and crime. $1 spent on childhood immunization saves $10 in later medical costs. Convinced, Al? Join me. Guarantee these benefits for all eligible children.
Very cleverly done, Ted. Take the Republican idea of empowerment and pass it off as your own. But fortunately, most thoughtful folks can see right through that old political garbage. Children are the nation's richest resource, and when the federal bucks are first spent wisely, it prevents the wasting of dollars down the road. But don't keep forgetting the billions of bucks you spend on your favorite welfare state ideas that simply are out of touch, a waste of money, and should be scratched. Ted, I'm awfully glad you're trying to come to grips with your senses and realize that modern welfare programs can indeed save money in the long run. But do me a favor and dump the prehistoric support systems you've always helped to build. The money we save on that stuff could send today's Head Start kids through college and let them finally break the chains of poverty. It'll take some new ideas, Ted. Got any? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need for common sense fiscal policy to end the recession before it gets hot. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. How deep a recession America will confront will be determined by whether Congress uses fiscal common sense or emotional babble. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the last time America reduced the tax on industrial capital, the nation's economy boomed up, unemployment dropped, and America experienced the longest economic expansion in our history. Double-digit inflation evaporated to nothing, and every segment of our economy prospered. But it sure came as no surprise to me, Ted, that when the Democrat-controlled Congress increased the tax on capital in the late 80s, that investors dried up and the economy began to cool off. It really doesn't take a rocket physicist to see the comparison here. Stimulating capital investment will stimulate growth and keep this recession from getting any deeper. Or am I going to hear your tiresome old class struggle rhetoric one more time with violins in the background? It's awfully hard to dance to that old broken record.
Al, you love to lead with your chin. Even you should have spotted the fact that President Bush's endorsement of the capital gains tax cut was lukewarm. His heart isn't in that fight anymore. He lost that battle last year and lost it badly. Endorsing it again this year was only a sop by the president for geriatric right-wingers like yourself. You continue to salivate like Pavlov's dog when anyone says capital gains tax cut for the rich. President Bush gave the issue away when all he called for was a study. That's a handy Washington euphemism for burying a thoroughly bad idea, which is what the tax cut is. It would cost the Treasury billions of dollars we don't have. Two-thirds of the benefit would go to people earning over $200,000 a year. It's trickle-down economics at its worst, Al. Study it all you like, but don't take it seriously. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The new Bush budget is deja vu. More missed opportunities and more misplaced priorities. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush's budget, released last week, deserves the hard knocks it's getting. It tilts too heavily towards the space-based missiles and exotic bombers, while shortchanging critical domestic priorities like health care and education. Reductions in Medicare threaten the survival of outstanding teaching hospitals. The proposal also contains a blatant ideological attempt to divide and conquer Medicare by turning it into a means-tested program instead of a broad-based insurance for all senior citizens. Cutbacks in education mean that thousands of students across the nation will lose college aid. It's a wonderfully Republican, let-them-eat-cake budget, full of tax cuts for the rich and budget cuts for everyone else. Go ahead, Al. Defend it. Defend the indefensible.
Now, Ted. I've watched presidents send up sound, sensible budgets to Congress every year, only to always hear you and your tax-and-spend Democrat buddies howl to the heavens that it's not enough. Then you fill your pens with red ink and drive this nation into bankruptcy and bloated debt. This year's budget gives more to education than ever before in history. And just two of your very favorite social programs, and mine, Head Start and WIC, will get $4,600,000,000 under the Bush plan. Good heavens, Ted, those alone get more money than Star Wars has ever got out of Congress. Healthcare costs $660 billion a year, and lots of waste there. The Bush budget is an honest and realistic approach of funding our government. It also, again, calls for a balanced budget amendment and the line item veto. That's what really makes you toss your cookies, ain't it, Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether people who earn over $100,000 a year should qualify for Medicare. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should someone who earns over $100,000 a year deserve all Medicare benefits subsidized by taxpayers too poor to afford insurance? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you always go goofy about Republicans being the party of the rich. So why are the Democrats the ones opposing a plan by President Bush to means test wealthy senior citizens and limit Medicare health insurance for those who earn over $125,000 a year? Ted, you were a blustering demagogue about last year's plan to lower the capital gains tax. It's now so ironic that you're the same guy who wants the taxes paid by America's poor to subsidize the health insurance for the richest people in the country. That really takes the cake, especially when the let-them-eat-it poor can't afford it. Ted, Medicare isn't like Social Security, where people pay into it for years. The taxpayers pay up to 75 cents for every Medicare dollar spent. Get real, Ted.
Typical Al. Pick on the elderly who are sick. You right-wingers love to think up new ways to undermine Social Security and Medicare.
The reason those two programs are successful is that they're there for everyone. They're universal insurance programs for rich and poor alike. Everybody pays the same amount. Everybody gets the same benefit. What could be fairer, Al? Your cynical plan to impose a means test and make some senior citizens pay more fits right in with all your other Republican schemes to undermine Social Security and Medicare. First, you'd turn them into welfare programs. Then you'd cut the benefits. Pretty soon, Medicare won't be there at all for the next generation of senior citizens. The revenues from this tricky maneuver are small potatoes compared to the big bucks you'd give away to the rich in your capital gains proposal. Same old Republican story, Al. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Bush administration's latest anti-drug strategy. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration's latest drug strategy has been unveiled, but it's still unbalanced and unsatisfactory. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the administration unveiled its 1991 drug strategy the other day. It's a stay-the-course strategy, but the course is failing. The lesson of years of hand-to-hand combat against drugs is that law enforcement can't do the job alone. Despite the rhetoric, the administration keeps shortchanging treatment and prevention programs that offer the best hope to reduce demand for drugs. Treatment can help addicts break their habit. Prevention programs in schools and communities can stop children from starting down the path of drug abuse. True, casual drug use has declined in recent years, but hardcore drug abuse and the violent crime it causes are going up, not down. Unless we do better against that problem, Al, we're not addressing the heart of the matter.
Ted, the only thing lost in defeat here is the truth. President Bush has shown a strong, powerful, and steady commitment to get this nation straight. In 2 short years, drug use has dropped dramatically. This year, the president has asked for an 11% increase to fight the war on drugs. He also asks for another $100 million to expand drug abuse facilities. That means 200,000 more people will get the help they so desperately need. But while that will never seem like a victory to you, Ted, you ought to ask the strong people who have won their lives back how they feel. We're talking about human beings, individual lives, and how they fight this war with courage to win personal victories slowly, one day at a time. The president is full steam ahead on this one, and you're going to have to lose 20 more pounds to really run to jump aboard. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to help Eastern Europe complete its dream of economic freedom now that the euphoria has gone. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson, if Eastern Europe is to make the great, big, successful transition step to democracy, now more than ever, they need our help. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, all freedom-loving people applauded when the Berlin Wall came crumbling down and the barbed wire was stripped away from the face of Eastern Europe. Those of us who watched were thrilled and awed at the people power that booted the tyrants out. But now the celebration is over, the champagne is flat, and Eastern Europe has wakened to the stark reality of just how difficult the transition to a free market economy will be. Ted, more than during all of the dreary years during the Cold War, Eastern Europe now needs a strong economic commitment from the West. Ted, I know how you grandstand when all those old cameras are rolling, but how about rolling up your sleeves instead and joining me in an honest bipartisan effort to truly stimulate trade and commerce with Eastern Europe? No cosmetics, no fooling.
Al, welcome to the Eastern Europe issue. Better late than never. I only hope you can rein in your right-wing colleagues. Their heads are still in the Cold War, and they're dragging their heels on helping new friends in Europe who are just emerging from the Iron Curtain. The administration is ambivalent. President Bush proposed modest U.S. foreign aid for Eastern Europe last year, but he asked far more for Cold War relics like Star Wars, the B-2 bomber, and the MX missile. He vetoed a bill to increase high-tech exports to Eastern Europe, and Republicans in the Senate blocked efforts to provide needed additional assistance. True, we've managed to begin key exchange programs, but we could do more if you Cold War warriors would admit that the Cold War is over. Get your GOP ideas in order first, Al, and we'll have a better chance of bringing the New World Order to Eastern Europe, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a coal industry scandal that's endangering coal miners' health. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. We'll be right back.
Ted Kennedy. A major coal company has pleaded guilty to falsifying coal dust samples and endangering coal miners' health. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a shocking violation of federal occupational safety and health laws came to light the other day. The Peabody Coal Company was indicted for tampering with coal dust samples from mines in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Illinois in a scheme to deceive federal inspectors into approving the air quality in their mines. The company pleaded guilty to the criminal charges and was fined $500,000. So far, so good. But miners think Peabody's just the tip of the iceberg. Industry experts say the submission of phony coal dust samples has been widespread for years and that hundreds of companies may be involved. The Federal Mine Safety Agency should crack down on all those offenders, Al. The feds should also start doing the air sampling themselves. The real mistake was letting crooked companies take the samples in the first place.
Ted, all companies aren't crooked. Why not a device to measure coal dust? And I agree that sometimes the government should be taking the air samples. Letting companies conduct all their own samples is like letting you guard the old refrigerator. So before you start shouting crooked companies from all the rooftops, you ought to remember the Mine Safety Administration is still investigating this case, and everyone involved should get a fair hearing and is entitled to due process. You remember due process, Ted. You mention it a lot. It's in the Bill of Rights. That's so important because investigators are still looking into the possibility that individual miners fearing their own job loss and the closing of their mine acted on their own to tamper with the samples. And let's make certain the thousands of samples sent to the labs every year are tested promptly instead of being allowed to sit on the shelf for half a decade. That's a real crime. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson, tossing money away at endless welfare programs is not the answer. Not when good programs can be designed to save money in the long run. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The dollar spent on prenatal care, childhood immunization, and nutrition keeps welfare mothers from coming back to the feds for even more welfare dollars later on. And giving kids a chance and head start has clearly shown that taxpayers later get a break from expensive special education and even prison costs. Ted, these are fine examples of how welfare dollars can save money in the long run. Instead of your support for all public assistance programs that only encourage the never-ending downward spiral of poverty, let's make certain we use the taxpayers' money wisely. Think you could ever get behind a progressive Republican idea that helps people while saving money? Would be like seeing the moon from both sides, eh? Think about it, though.
Al, we all have to learn to do more with less. But the main reason we're in this crisis is the decade of Reaganomics that sent the deficit through the roof. Spend now, pay later. That was your philosophy, Al, not mine. Well, later is now, when all of us are paying. It's harder to invest in needed priorities essential for the future. Another legacy of Reaganomics is haunting us. The go-go years of deregulation torpedoed the financial system. The SNL bailout is adding billions to the deficit. The blame for that foul up rests squarely on your right-wing doorstep, Al. Let's judge spending by the same rules we apply to private enterprise. Expand programs that work and are cost-effective. Cancel programs which flunk that test. I call the idea public enterprise. It may be the best way out of this mess, Al, without resorting to your kind of mindless budget cuts. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on more help for working mothers in the modern workplace. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Working parents deserve time off from the job when a baby is born or a family member is seriously ill. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, changes in the modern workplace require new policies to ease the burden on working parents struggling to hold jobs and also fulfill family responsibilities. To make ends meet, more and more women have entered the workforce in recent years, but that puts more pressure on their families. The problem is especially serious when working couples with children must also care for elderly parents who are ill. Despite these needs, hard-nosed employers refuse to give an inch. That's got to change, Al. No workers should lose their job because they take time off to care for a newborn baby, a sick parent, or a sick child. The leave could be unpaid, so there's no significant cost to business. Every other Western industrial nation requires employers to grant leave for family emergency, Al. So should the United States.
Ted, I see that your glib answer to the mild recession we've dipped into is just to pile more and more federal regulations and requirements on poor old business. Maybe you really should take another crack at Economics 101. Ted, I think family leave is a wonderful idea, and I would encourage every businessman and woman to bargain and negotiate with their employees to reach this high-minded goal. What I will not support is the way you want to force the heavy hand of the federal government upon every business, large and small, a congressional mandate demanding family leave. Ted, a significant number of American companies already offer family leave plans. They gave this fine benefit without it being a federal law in order to attract the very best employees. Let the marketplace of our free enterprise system set the standards instead of old Ted Kennedy himself. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on giving criminals the same treatment we're giving Saddam Hussein. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. As we bring Saddam Hussein to the bar of justice for human rights violations, let us not tolerate violent crimes in our own country. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, 5% of America's criminals commit 25% of all the felonies. But instead of some stiff slammer time, too many crooks get right back out on the street. In New York, only one of every 100 arrests results in jail. Ted, take the case of Grace Chang, a young waitress who came to New York from Hong Kong. Instead of finding the American dream, she ended up the victim of judicial abuse. Standing on a subway platform, she was mugged for a single dollar and pushed to her death. But here's the real horror. Her attacker had 14 arrests and was on parole from a 10-year sentence. If he'd been locked in prison, Grace would be alive today. Ted, as we fight the atrocities made by Iraq, let us remember that the American thugs who show the same callous attitude for human life should face the same tough music, but you always plead for the bums.
Al, you keep frothing at the mouth about locking up criminals and throwing away the key, but the lesson of recent years is that your right-wing, one-track mind approach to crime has failed. We can't build prison cells fast enough to solve the problem. A recent study by a respected organization called the Sentencing Project found that the United States already has the highest incarceration rate of any nation in the world. Since 1980, we've been spending more and more tax dollars to send more and more people to prison, and we're not even making a dent in the high crime rate. The rate of violent crime actually went up 11% between 1980 and 1989. If your hardline policy produced results, Al, you might have a point, but we're losing the war on crime. Why not try something that works, like tough gun control measures to keep handguns out of the hands of criminals? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on long-term care insurance for senior citizens. Tune in tomorrow in the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Long-term care for the elderly is the unfinished business of Social Security. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, as the country's population ages, more and more families face the immense financial and emotional burden of caring for elderly parents. Retired workers now live into their 80s and 90s, but more and more are exhausting their life savings to pay for long periods of care in a nursing home or their own home. Help for the elderly seems to come in 30-year cycles, Al. The 1930s brought Social Security and reasonable pensions for the retirement. 1960s brought Medicare to pay for hospital and medical costs. The 1990s can bring urgently needed additional protection by insuring senior citizens against the high cost of long-term care. Social Security and Medicare are two of the most successful social programs ever enacted. Let's finish the job and make it three for three, Al. Long-term care protection means peace of mind for every senior citizen.
Ted, the real unfinished business of Social Security is catastrophic health care. You remember catastrophic care, don't you, Ted? You voted to repeal it 2 years ago, denying seniors the first major expansion of Medicare benefits in decades. Now look at yourself. You didn't even say the word catastrophic. Are you really that ashamed of what you did? And now you want to leapfrog over the changes we need to make to Medicare, ignore them, and go right on to long-term care? Back up there a minute, Ted. First things first. And Ted, don't just ignore that the taxpayer cost of Medicare is growing at twice the rate of Social Security. Right now, Medicare sucks up 75 cents for every dollar that the feds spend on seniors. But then you've never ever really cared about the terrible debt you saddle on our future generations. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether to charge a fee for crossing the border into the United States. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should we have an express lane at our American borders and charge for the privilege of speedily getting across? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, cars crossing into America often have long waits and traffic jams. Now the Justice Department wants to install a voluntary express lane to speed cars on through for a $2 fee. The money raised will then let the feds hire more personnel at border facilities, which in itself would ease traffic snarls in all of the other lanes. Ted, creating a border express lane and charging a fee could make everybody a winner. Even the taxpayers get a break because the fee will pay the cost of the additional facilities and personnel. Ted, you always like to live in the fast lane, but you always plead the case of your liberal buddies who always refuse to see any advantage to this border express lane, and that's pretty short-sighted, Ted. New glasses on this one, Ted.
Move over, Al. You're the one in the slow lane today. That border crossing reform has already been approved by Congress last year. It's a 3-year pilot program to be started this spring at busy points along the Canadian and Mexican borders. The idea is to see whether workers, shoppers, and others who cross the border frequently are willing to pay a modest fee, $2 or so, for expedited inspections and faster crossings. The revenues will go to improve all border services. 300 million people cross the border back and forth every year. Often they wait 2 or 3 hours to get through. The long lines are a major drag on the border economy. In these limited budget times, the kind of user fee is a sensible way to make government more efficient. We need to be careful the fee doesn't grow into a regressive tax, Al, but this new idea is worth a try. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to reform our Neanderthal voter registration laws. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the 1990 elections are history. 1992 is a long way off. Now is the time to reform our voter registration laws so more citizens can vote. Voter turnout in 1990 was shockingly low, 36%, the worst in half a century. Unreasonable registration requirements aren't the only explanation for low turnout, but they're a major part of the problem, and we know how to cure it. In most states, antiquated laws make registration inaccessible to voters. Some reforms are obvious and overdue, like the Motor Voter Plan, which allows citizens to register when they apply for a driver's license. Let's also permit citizens to register by mail and register at libraries and other public places. Neanderthal registration laws may appeal to Neanderthal Simpson, but they're hurting our democracy. Let America vote, Al, and let the chips fall where they may.
Ted, the only chips flying around here are cow chips. You missed the whole point. The choice of not voting is in itself a vote. It's quite naive to think that simply changing the registration laws will encourage greater turnout. Better candidates and reforming of the campaign finance laws are the best great hope we have for that. Ted, why don't you get behind our plan to abolish political action committees? Let's get rid of the soft money the candidates can raise and not report. Saying that we should only change the way people register to vote while stacking the deck against new challengers is sure not my idea of fair. Registering to vote is already one of the simplest things anyone can do. Those who don't fail to register are just plain lazy. So cut the old smokescreen, Ted. Instead of supporting motor voter registration reform to register wandering Democrats, support the real issue here. Campaign finance reform. Where are you? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.